Kimberly McCullough, Legislative Director with ACLU.
ACLU of Oregon has been targeted not only by the FBI, but also by the Portland Police Bureau. I have files in my office that are like this thick from two different FOIA requests that we put in, where we, Freedom of Information Act requests, where we did public records requests to find out about investigation of our organization and found that they were collecting all sorts of information about us as if we somehow are a threat to our communities, which I find kind of ludicrous. It wasn't very long ago, it was about a year ago, that the FBI put out a notice that ended up causing a whole debacle at our State Department of Justice because they identified Black Lives Matter as a potential threat to public safety. But then later, there was a leaked memo where we found out that they had actually created a category of folks that they identified as Black identity extremists, and they identified them as a domestic terrorist threat, again, targeting Black Lives Matter, which we find really problematic. So, you know, our view is that the city should withdraw from this formal relationship with the JTTF. And that doesn't mean that if there was an actual threat to public safety in Portland, that there shouldn't be some sharing of information and some collaboration if there was an actual threat. But the difference would be that it would need to rise to the level where there actually is enough evidence that Portland police officers and the Portland Police Bureau can engage in investigations based on Oregon law, and where we don't have this veil of secrecy under how our officers are operating. Next, Joanna's going to speak next.
As you may know, I spent the last 18 months talking to people in every corner of the city of Portland. And one of the things that people mentioned over and over again is their sense of insecurity just walking the street in the city of Portland today. Because I have been, since Tom Potter was mayor, and he first made the decision to not join the Joint Terrorism Task Force, there's been a group that the ACLU has been a part of that we've been nonstop talking about the difference between feeling safe and protecting community members and then being over-policed and not really knowing what Portland police officers are doing every day that they're working with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. So for example, the two Portland police officers who are assigned to the Joint Terrorism Task Force, both of them, when they're not working at the FBI, work as part of the Criminal Intelligence Unit. And so if you think about that, and I asked the FBI this because apparently it took 10 of them to come to my office to explain to me why it was important for us to stay in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. When I asked them about this, they said, oh, no, there's really clear lines between what they do with the FBI and what they do with the Portland Police Bureau. But if you're using the same data system to collect information on community members, and the police chief has no ability to supervise their day-to-day activities, that is the exact reason why Mayor Tom Potter in his day said no to joining the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And that is the reason why today I feel very uneasy knowing that we have city employees working for a federal government who has shown that they have targeted and will continue to target immigrants and refugees, African Americans, and other vulnerable populations. It is important for us as a city to be safe. Means what we need to do is know our neighbors. We need to make sure that we're reaching out to people who don't look like us, who don't speak our language, and building those community relations. We will never be safer with more armed people in our community. Now, I met with the FBI and their team recently, and this is what they told me that they're now focused on. Most of our work now is focused on white supremacists. I thought it was really interesting that they're trying to change their public message, right? Because they know the community is concerned about this rise in white supremacy. So now their public message is, oh no, we're just trying to protect people from white supremacists. It is important that we call it like it is. We are using city resources to fund an operation that we get no information on. We cannot feel safe if we cannot hold our police officers accountable for the work that they're doing. And in addition to that, we just don't know how much information the FBI and the Joint Terrorism Task Force is collecting, what they're doing with the data that they're collecting, and how they're using that data to have impact on community members. What I am proposing through a resolution that ACLU and other community partners have been working on is that we would identify the deputy chief as the person that the FBI would contact if there was a threat of terrorism or additional information that Portland Police Bureau should have. But there is no logical reason why we should continue to pay two Portland police officers full-time to be part of a federal organization that has shown that they are targeting people based on not criminal behavior, but based on what they look like, where they come from, and what language they speak.
Thank you so much for all of you for coming. My name is Casey Chama. I'm the executive director of Unite Oregon. So thank you all for coming. And I also want to especially thank Commissioner Hardesty's leadership on this issue and her staff who really brought us all this together. I also want to acknowledge there has been community organizations and coalition who has been working this issue for long, long time. Who have been, even though sometimes the political winds were against us, were there at the table and really engaging this issue, how do we protect our community from profiling? Our coalition is diverse, strong, includes ACLU, NAACP, JLC, Cab Watch, and many, many other organizations that I won't mention because the list is very long. Unite Oregon, when we started, came out of it when two organizations merged, what used to be called Center for Intercultural Organizing and what used to be called Oregon Action. The organization at the time I was leading was called Center for Intercultural Organizing. That organization was founded after 9/11. And the whole issue of we started to engage at the beginning was that to address issues of Islamophobia in our community. And then later became full-fledged social justice immigrant refugee rights organization. So I'm familiar with this issue because it's close to my heart. As also, I'm a Muslim man who lives in this community. And I want my city to assure me that my presence in this city matters. I'm welcome and I'm protected by profiling. But I also want to extend that invitation to every single person who might be profiled, whether they are our people of color, African American community, Native American community, homelessness community, houseless communities, LGBTQ community. We need to make sure that when we say we are building equity, we means we equity for all, not some, but for all. This issue of JTTF, there's a national movement. This is not only issues in Portland. There's a civil rights Muslim organizations who are addressing this issue, who have been engaged, including CARE, who have been engaged in this issue for many years. And the conclusion is very clear that FBI is profiling Muslim community. That's a national issue. That's a national conversation that's happening. When we create hysteria and fear among our community, we create a place where community members are fearful from the people in position of power, from their neighbors, from their within each other, if they even come from the same community, from the system, the government that they're supposed to trust to protect them. We have sanctuary law. And to their credit, in 2000, I believe, during the Bush administration, when Attorney General Ashcroft decided he wants to interview Muslim men from certain countries, our police chief at the time cited our Oregon sanctuary law and said, I cannot do that because it's against Oregon law. We also have Oregon laws that also ensures that we don't target people based on their religion, race, gender, sexual orientation. UNAR Oregon and with ACLU worked hard to pass HB 2002, which really states very simple language that no law enforcement agency should target an individual for suspicion of violation of provision of law based solely on their real perceived factor of the individual's age, race, ethnicity, color, national origin, language, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, political affiliation, religion, homelessness, or disability. We worked to make sure that everyone in our community is protected. So, with that said, Commissioner Harris and also Kimberly said, ICE is part of the JTTF. How in the world are we going to work and send our police officers sitting at the table with ICE, an agency who are literally separating children from their parents? How are we going to allow to be sitting at the same table and agencies who are putting cages on children? How are we going to allow to collaborate an agency that violating the civil liberties of immigrant and refugee community members? My dear Portlanders, we are in a crossroads in this country. The direction we go as a community, as the city, will determine what kind of community we want to build. We need to ensure that as we are going to crossroads and difficult time, that we need to bridge, not to break bridges.
My name is Jeff Selby, and I'm speaking tonight as a Nikkei community member. Nikkei is the term that we as Japanese Americans call ourselves in the United States. I'm a former two-term president of the Portland Japanese American Citizens League. So it's a new year, 2019, and we once again find ourselves discussing the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. I'm representing the Nikkei community tonight to share our long-standing belief that the city's involvement with the JTTF will not keep Portlanders safer, but will rather harm many of us as a result of racial profiling and the targeting of our Arab and Muslim families and friends. When social justice activists and racial equity practitioners take on the challenges we face today, we know it's vital to remember our history. We look back in order to move forward. The history of the Nikkei community is unique, and it's important to remind all Portlanders of how the events of 1941 played out in our own community. The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on the morning of December 7th, 1941, and by 2:30 that afternoon, the FBI stormed Portland's Japanese American neighborhood and arrested 110 individuals. They rounded up community leaders, businessmen, doctors, journalists, Buddhist priests, and Japanese language teachers. And although none were charged with any crimes, they were incarcerated at the Multnomah County and Rocky Butte jails. The arrest happened so quickly because the FBI had profiled the Nikkei community, and the government classified our family members as a national security threat solely based on their ancestry. On February 19, 1942, President Roosevelt signed and issued Executive Order 9066, which allowed the government to forcibly remove 120,000 Americans of Japanese ancestry from their homes and ship them off to incarceration camps in desolate areas of the country. We are fortunate that we still have Nikkei elders in our community like George Nakata and Henry Sakamoto, who can remind us of their experiences in the camps. Henry testified before City Council in 2011 to remind us all how fear and profiling led to a gross violation of our civil rights. Some have said that these atrocities happened so long ago and that we should move on. Native Americans, people of color, immigrants, and other marginalized communities are often told by dominant culture to get over things like genocide, slavery, and incarceration. But to ignore our history is to marginalize the experience of our underrepresented Portlanders. In 1941, the FBI targeted my community. Since then, they have targeted Arab and Muslim Portlanders and labeled what they call black identity extremists and what we call Black Lives Matter as a security threat. The Nikkei community is using our current privilege and our history to bring light to this issue. We have been on record since 2005 opposing Portland's involvement with JTTF. Being part of the JTTF does not make Portlanders safer. It takes our police officers away from community policing and places them in the position of possibly violating innocent Portlanders' civil rights and state law. Thank you.
You've been listening to voices from the January 16th town hall on Portland's involvement in the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the FBI's history of targeting communities of color in Portland. This coming Wednesday at 2 p.m. at City Hall, there will be a vote on a proposal to withdraw Portland from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Again, that's Wednesday at 2 p.m. This has been Desiree Helligers for the Omaha Variety Hour.